This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
This is Lock and Load. I'm over here screaming into the microphone because I thought I hit the button, and what I did was I muted it. Joining us now is the writer that eclipses all other writers, at least as far as how many eyes look at his stuff, and that is Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Glad to be here, Bill.
So, I've seen some of the stuff you've been putting out there. What? I'm sorry?
Oh, nothing. I just said, what's our subject would you like to talk about now?
Well, you looked at this North Carolina matter where these Republicans got out there, and I want to know how deep you were able to dive into this and what the motivation of these rogue Republicans was in joining with their Democratic buddies.
Yes, you know, this is fascinating to me because our digital technology is allowing to see stuff in reasonable time frames that we never could before, unless you were right at the Capitol watching when a vote occurred and knew intimately what happened. But now with the digital records and being able to look at votes over the internet and then to identify individual votes with individual legislators with their districts and to see what they did in procedural matters and in almost, in just a few hours, you see how their votes changed. It's fascinating stuff because there's a lot of sort of inside the baseball things that goes on in these legislatures. And what we see here is that we had several people on both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, change their votes in order to not override a governor's veto of relatively mild reforms of the gun control laws in North Carolina. And I have seen this before in other legislatures as well. And what often happens is you have legislators who are pushed hard by their constituencies to vote a particular way on something their constituents really want to have passed. But the legislators are not really all that convinced about how much they want it, usually because the media is exactly opposite of what the people are wanting. They're pushing for more and stricter gun control, which is kind of a misnomer, let's say infringements on Second Amendment rights. And the legislators are getting from their constituents that they want less. They want to restore Second Amendment rights. So they resort to all kinds of maneuvering in order to appear like they're voting the way their constituents want, but they actually don't. And in this case, on July 2nd, the governor, Cooper, who's a pretty far-left Democrat, vetoed several pieces of legislation, but I think it's H652 was the restoration of, mild reform of some of the gun laws in North Carolina. And it looked like there were plenty of votes to override the veto. They needed about, at worst case, they would need about 72 votes in the House. They had 77. And if a number of people did not vote, in North Carolina, you only need 60% of the votes present. So if people were not there, you need a smaller number of votes. And it looked like there was enough. I mean, they had 77 to start with. But then what happened was that five Republicans who had voted for the bill just didn't show up. They just weren't there. They were absent. So their votes certainly weren't there to override the veto. And then you had four Democrats that changed their vote from votes for the bill to votes not to override the veto. And you had a Democrat who originally voted against the bill and now went absent. And what it appears to me is that you have the governor and certainly the Democrat leadership, and it's hard to know, but it sounds like at least a fair number of Republicans all counted votes very carefully, and they came up with very close to the exact number of the minimum votes they could get to either not vote on the bill or to vote to sustain the veto in order to minimize the political damage and still keep the veto in place and not pass the bill. And with the digital information that's readily available over the net, I identified all the Republicans who changed their vote and all the Democrats who changed their vote. And so it's fairly easy to do by going to the Legislative Red website. Now, I did find one discrepancy, Ballotpedia, which is a great source. If anybody wants to understand what's happening with legislation and who is voting for what, Ballotpedia, which is based out of Madison, Wisconsin, by the way, keeps excellent records of this stuff. And they said that there was 67 people who voted to override the veto, and that was enough. But if you go to the North Carolina legislative site, it shows another vote right after that one, where it says 67 votes were enough to override the veto, which doesn't seem right by my math, and that 66 votes, one person switched their vote at the last minute. I haven't been able to find out or figure out who that one might have been, but I think the names that I gave of people who didn't vote and changed their vote are all correct. So it's this very interesting to show how access to the Internet and digital information is changing the way we look at things. I mean, 40 years ago, even 20 years ago, you just wouldn't have this information. You might Right. get it in a flyer or a newsletter 2 weeks after it happened. And it already is starting to get stale. And even then, they might not identify the exact representatives and what districts they were in. And you wouldn't see how, well, you might, but it would be later, how clearly people who said that they wanted this bill to pass and changed their votes in just a few days. Now, there's usually very often as some kind of reward or stick, you know, maybe the governor said, I won't sign this, you know, funding project that you want in your district, or he might have said, you know, if you want this, you can trade it for your vote. In Wisconsin, which I watched very closely because I grew up in Wisconsin, and in 2004 and 6 and 8, as I recall, there were a series of shall issue laws that were voted on by large majorities of the legislature, and the Wisconsin governor at the time was a Democrat known as Jim Doyle, in my opinion, one of the worst governors that Wisconsin has had in a long time.
Let me get you a hold right there, Dean. Let me get you a hold. We're coming up on the break. We'll finish with Jim Doyle. I want to know what made him so bad in your eyes. That's got to be bad for you to think that he's that bad. You can catch the latest work that Dean is churning out right now by going to amaland.com. Look at all contributors. He'll be listed under Dean Weingarten. Go look there. And, I mean, it's just a resource. Believe me. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Frank's Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spike's Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spike's Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
To you live, this is Lock and Load, and we are talking with Dean Weingarten, and we were just learning about Governor
Wisconsin
Doyle, was it?
Governor Doyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, who was governor around 2002 to 2010, I think. And during that time period, the legislature repeatedly passed shall issue concealed carry permit laws because Wisconsin didn't have any means of issuing a permit, and they passed them by large margins. I think two of the three times they passed them by more than enough margins to override a governmental veto. But the governor has a lot of tools at his disposal, and he would twist arms and offer rewards. And then I think the last case, though I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it was in 2008, one of the Democrat politicians who had voted for the shall issue concealed carry was instrumental. I think only one or maybe two votes had to switch to get to overcome the veto-proof majority that was already there. And this Democrat politician switched his vote, and gee, I think it was less than a year later he was appointed to a judgeship by the governor. So it's interesting how these things happen sometimes. And Doyle was infamous for doing everything he could to stop the exercise, the restoring of the exercise of Second Amendment rights in Wisconsin. And he tried to raid the Wisconsin retirement system, which is one of the best in the nation. I think it may be rated as the best because the funds are not accessible to most of Wisconsin government. There's a separate board that invests those funds specifically for Wisconsin retirees, and it's fully funded, and it's just, you know, it's exactly the opposite of what you see in Chicago or in, I think even Michigan or in some other states that are now falling toward bankruptcy. And Doyle tried to raid it. He just wanted that money for his pet projects. And the court in Wisconsin shot him down, and he wasn't able to do it. So in my opinion, he's one of the worst Wisconsin governors that I've seen in my lifetime. But eventually he left office and was replaced by Scott Walker, who was one of the best Wisconsin governors I think I've seen in my lifetime.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, at least that had a good good ending, eh?
Yes. And I just, you know, I just referenced Wisconsin because we see these legislative shenanigans or taking place all over. And I've been amazed at the number of times I've seen when it appeared clear that a reform of the law, which would restore some Second Amendment rights, at the last minute just barely manages to be defeated. And it happens again and again. But we're making progress. We've been making a lot of progress over the last 30 years. And I think we will continue to make progress. Eventually, I believe we'll have a majority of the states with constitutional carry, but it may take a while.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't take that much to get to that point. What would it, another 10?
We've got like 16 now.
Another 10.
We only need another 10, and there are plenty of candidates out there that are putting it forward. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Louisiana do it, or maybe Indiana. They both came very close recently. And speaking about restoring Second Amendment rights,
before you do
like
that,
talk
though,
about the FG. Go
well,
ahead.
I want to ask you a question though. Has there been any word from the electorate of North Carolina?
I haven't seen any commentary on it yet. Of course, this is really fresh. The vote just happened today. So I managed to get the article out in a very timely fashion. No, it happened yesterday. Excuse me. So this hasn't been time for many articles, and I have to admit I haven't been cruising through the Second Amendment sites for North Carolina.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of discussion of it and a lot of disgust at the way it went. I'll
I'm surprised. You know,
I do. Go ahead.
Do you know who Paul Vallone is?
Say again?
Do you know who Paul Vallone is of Grassroots North Carolina?
Oh, yeah, I know Paul. Yeah. He and I, are friends, I would think.
Normally, Paul is one of those rare, he's sort of an unsung Second Amendment advocate, but when he walks in, normally.
He's a great guy. I love Paul.
When he walks in, normally the General Assemblies or legislatures, they have that icy chill go down their spine.
And, yeah, because he keeps them, you know, he keeps track of them. You know, he's, I'm sure that there are many legislators who wish he wasn't around.
Yeah. I'm just surprised this happened on his watch. I mean, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope so, too. But this was well orchestrated. You don't get just almost exactly the number you need to not, you know, to fail to override a veto. What we don't know is how much the Republican leadership was involved. But this was very carefully orchestrated to get just the minimum number they could get in order to stop the veto override. Now, we do have, you know, five Republicans who voted for it and then just didn't show up. But I don't think that'll protect them. They may be in districts that are, you know, sketchy. I don't know. I don't know enough about the internal North Carolina politics to,
North Carolina
to tell you about these districts.
North Carolina is a mess, just like South Carolina. South Carolina has got two areas, Charleston and Columbia, which, you know, Charleston is the historic town. Columbia is the capital city. And both of those are quite leftist in their locales. And they're just these little purple islands in a sea of red.
Yeah, yeah.
But Columbia is where the seat of government is. Columbia is quite interesting because they have two or three colleges there. They have Fort Jackson there, and they have government. So it's interesting to see all the different things. It's like watching a bunch of tsunamis collide with each other.
Oh, yes. And we see this in college towns generally. There are a number of states that have that sort of situation. For example, in Texas, you have one of the University of Texas campuses there at the seat of government in Austin. And Austin has to be one of the most liberal places in all of Texas. And then in Wisconsin, you have the seat of government in Madison, and you have the University of Wisconsin-Madison there. And it's incredibly liberal. And much of this happened because back around, I think it was 72, I might be off a year or so, the Supreme Court ruled that...
Hold right there, if you will. We're coming up on the break. You can catch Dean's stuff. You can find his stuff at amoland.com. If you start reading it now, you might get done before this decade is over. Just let me know how it's going. Amoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
For 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump spending his Friday afternoon in Florida with what the president's been up to. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
In between a visit to Southern Command and a campaign fundraiser, President Trump held a roundtable with Hispanic leaders where he laced into his Democratic rival.
Nobody will be safe in a Biden America, but Biden doesn't know what a Biden America is if you ask him to define it.
Besides slamming Joe Biden, he also took a swipe at House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for saying she's okay with rioters toppling a Christopher Columbus statue in Baltimore last weekend.
President Trump also says Tropical Storm Fay is being monitored and FEMA is ready to help if needed. And your final numbers on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow closed up 369 points. to end the week at 26.75. You're listening to USA Radio News. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says a second round of stimulus checks should be included in a new coronavirus relief package. Mnuchin also tells CNBC regarding unemployment insurance being extended again, he doesn't want to see folks get more than they would get if they were working.
You can assume that it'll be no more than 100%. So yes, we want to incent people to go back to work. And even at 100%, if people have jobs, we want them to go back to work. So enhanced unemployment is intended for people who don't have jobs, and particularly industries that are harder to rebound. So we will not be doing it in the same way. And we're in a dramatically different situation. Many businesses are open. Many businesses want to hire more people today.
The White House says President Trump's campaign rally in New Hampshire set for Saturday will be delayed by a week or two due to a storm making its way toward the East Coast. More news can be found online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, Bill Hyde here for Safe Places USA. If you're thinking it might be finally time to move out of a dangerous urban area to a safer place before things get worse, pay close attention. Because the feeling in your gut, the one telling you to get out, could save your life. Here's why. You can now find out where the safest places in this country are by going to safeplacesusa.com and checking out the Ultimate Relocation Manual. It's your personal guide to the tips, tricks, and techniques for relocating your family to the safest places in America. All broken down in 15 strategic, critical categories along with checklists and preparation sources. So if you want a clear path to getting out of Dodge, go to safeplacesusa.com. That's safeplacesusa.com. Use coupon code GCN and get half off the manual all this week. Plus, get the following books free with your Ultimate Relocation Manual. Pandemic Survival Secrets, Your Home, Your Fortress. All free this week at safeplacesusa.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. I find it interesting because we're going to talk about, let's talk about this 3D firearm thing that you've got there. My son just got a 3D printer. It's almost so inexpensive to buy one of these things now. You can buy them cheaper than you can buy a printer. We still got Dean?
You know, as we speak.
Okay.
I haven't printed anything yet, but I have calibrated it and assembled it, and it seems to be ready to go. I just, you know, have a lot of things I'm doing, but I wanted to have one because they're interesting tools that you can do a lot with. But I did want to just, I left off saying that there was a reason why these university and government towns have become centers of liberal power. And that was about 1972, the Supreme Court made a ruling that students who were living, you know, at a university and going to school there, the previous practice had been that they were registered to vote where they came from, on the theory that they didn't have a permanent presence at the school. They were just there temporarily, and so they voted back where they came from instead of at the school. Well, right. They said no. The Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. They have to be allowed to register where they're at. Well, this created enormous concentrations of students at universities in university towns, and they basically took over the politics there. I watched it happen at the University of Wisconsin, and it went from being, you know, a moderately leftist town to a far left town with a lot of radicals. And that's how these university towns became centers of leftist power in the United States. So now I can talk about the 3D printed guns, which it's a fascinating technology. Would you like me to talk about the FGC9?
Yes, I do, because I looked at the video of this thing, and this is actually looks viable.
Yes, everything I read about it, it's just this. I have fascinating use of existing technology to combine in a way that takes advantage of all the strengths of the various technologies and materials that are out there
so that it produces a firearm that's, I would say, comparable to a commercial firearm, and the cost for the first one is comparable to a commercial pistol caliber carbine. But then once you've got the tools and you've built the first one, you have the skills, you have the tools, you could produce additional copies, if you don't count your time, for about $100 a piece.
Right.
It is a fascinating thing. And this is no one-shot wonder. People who have played with these claim that they have shot in the neighborhood of a couple thousand rounds out of them without a problem. And they're not, they use a 25 or a 17 or a 33-round magazine. And they're fairly reliable. And they're reasonably accurate. We're talking about groups of maybe, 2.5 inches or so at 25 yards, which is, about what a Glock pistol can do.
Right.
Generally. So they're a very viable carbine that's in direct competition with a lot of commercially manufactured firearms. And you don't have to purchase anything that is precisely gun related. Now, in the United States, it's an interesting curiosity and a fun project to build, because you can buy as many guns as you want most places that are as capable as this gun and maybe more capable. You can buy AR clones right now that have plenty of 30-round magazines and have better accuracy and better range, and for about the same, roughly $600 price. But you don't get the tooling and you don't get the knowledge on how to make them. What is fascinating about this is that just about anywhere in most of the world where you have access to the internet, where you have electricity, let's make those two caveats, you can buy the materials and the tooling to make this firearm over the internet, and you won't be traced to any particular gun part or anything. And in 2 weeks, you can make a functioning semi-automatic firearm. I find that just fascinating. And what it does is it takes the approach that I'd been predicting for about 3-4 years now, that you use 3D printing with its strength, which is to produce accurate, dimensionally accurate and precise parts relatively easily without having to do a lot of machining.
Right.
And then you use other pre-existing metal parts. For example, they use high-pressure tubing. The specific one they mentioned is made in China, but it's not a firearm part. It's just a very precise high-pressure tube. And you use that to make a barrel. But you don't use that with traditional methods of rifling, and this is where a breakthrough happened, and I wrote about it separately, I think, about 6 months ago. And that is, they use electrochemical machining to machine the chamber and the rifling into the steel tube. And it turns out it's a mature technology. Smith & Wesson has been using it to rifle pistol barrels for many years, decades, actually. So there's nothing really unusual about it, except most people weren't aware of it. But these fantastic innovators, sort of do-it-yourself innovators, found out about the technology, and they developed a way to combine 3D printing to make the jigs to do the electrochemical engineering to produce a relatively precise rifled barrel.
It's actually quite it's a rapidly maturing technology, isn't it? The whole premise.
Yes, it is. And you don't need a lot of exotic chemicals. You need, a power supply, which they're ubiquitous. They're all over. You can buy them for $100 or less. You need, a 3D printer makes the jigs that makes it all much easier. But I've seen ways that I think I could make the jigs by hand. And then you need water and a bucket and a small pump and salt. And you can produce these barrels. And once you, and there's always a learning curve on this kind of thing. And I'd say to produce a good barrel will take you, you know, maybe 1 or 2 days the first time.
Right.
But once you understand the process, and you understand all the little tricks of the trade, and a lot of that is given in these online instructions, and you figure out just how to optimize it for your situation, I think one person could turn out 10 barrels a day without any trouble. And that brings us to the next part of this thing is, yes, one person with one 3D printer and some basic hand tools and a small welder could produce one of these, I think, pretty easily in 2 weeks if you had no previous training at all.
Right.
And easier and faster if you know how to weld already and you're familiar with 3D printers. But where I see this likely to make a serious impact is in small shop production. As we see all over the world, there are these small clandestine shops that operate kind of in the black market, and they produce firearms for local sale and on the criminal or gray or black market.
Let me get you to hold up right there.
They produce.
Let me get you to hold up right there because I do want to talk about that. I knew with this when this was being bandied about back in the day, wasn't it, five or six years ago, that this was going to be the end of gun control because now cat's out of the bag. Now, as far as Dean is concerned, you can find that article along with all the other 1,500 plus or so articles that he has there at amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Last day of the rest of my life, I wish I would have known, cause I didn't kiss my mama goodbye. I didn't tell her that I loved her, how much I cared. I thank my pops for all the talks and all the wisdom he shared.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Last time on the firing line, coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. We are speaking with Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about the wonders of 3D printing and such. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Okay, so somebody that wanted to take the time, they could actually do all the printing, get all the parts assembled and everything, and then have just a little assembly line ready to go in just about no time at all, couldn't they?
Yes, and that's one of the beauties of the 3D printing. Now, it isn't super hard to make a mostly functioning submachine gun, but it takes a, you know, out of scrap, essentially. But it takes a lot of hand-fitting and fooling around and trying to get the feed system just so. I mean, the hardest part of a really of a successful semi-automatic design is to have a good magazine.
Right.
And if you have to make the magazine by hand, well, it takes a lot of fooling around to do it. If you can get commercial magazines, it gets easier. But it's not a simple process you can do overnight. But with 3D printing, all of the really critical parts, except perhaps the barrel, can be produced with very precise dimensions and basically interchangeable, so that if you had a small shop that wanted to produce these, they could produce a stockpile of parts. They could have one person producing, you know, nothing but magazine catches. They could have another area producing magazines. They could have another one, some person that produces barrels, not out of 3D printing, but with the electromechanical process we were talking about, and electromachining, excuse me. And they could have these spread over, you know, a city or a county or a state. And then they could just bring them together and assemble them all into workable guns in just a matter of a few hours. They could probably have 100 of them. Because everything would be interchangeable because it's done in a very precise way with the 3D printers. It just takes such little hand fitting that it allows this assembly line process. And the potential profit here to a criminal organization is pretty large. Now, Australia is probably not a great example because they really just don't have a very large organized crime system there. They have a drug problem, but it's just not much compared to the United States. I mean, their criminality is just, you know, it's like the northern tier of the United States. You know, it's just not
not that much criminality there. And but even so, in their organized crime, they were paying $5,000 apiece for workable copies of MAC-10 submachine guns. Well, this FGC-9 is every bit as capable as a copy of a MAC-10. And if you can produce them at home or in a small shop for less than $100 a piece in parts, if you had about a dozen 3D printers and a drill press and a welder, and, well, let's even add a lathe, then you can make suppressors for it very easily, and very effective suppressors. You could produce, you know, two or three people with that kind of a layout could produce one of these a day, an FGC-9 a day on average, and that's going for $5,000. Well, $5,000 a day, well, you'd say you'd only get half of that in profit because there'd be middlemen and everything else, but even $2,500 a day for three people is pretty good wages, even in Australia.
Yeah.
If you're a criminal element, I think it would be highly, highly enticing. Now, the problem in Australia is there's just not that big a market for illegal guns. You know, there's just not a lot of criminality there. So you'd probably saturate the market after a couple hundred of them were out there. Still, a couple hundred at 5,000 apiece is a nice chunk of change, you know. Anyway, and in other places, like in Israel, you know, they're producing this Carlos. They call it the Carlos submachine gun there.
Right.
And they're pretty crappy. Oh, sorry. I don't know if that's allowed. They're not very good quality. They can get a few shots off occasionally, but they're known to jam. Well, something like the FGC-9 would be far superior. And looks to me it would be much easier to produce. And the Israeli security forces have already said they can't stop the production of the Carlos, because it just occurs in small shops with ordinary tools.
Right.
So I don't see how they're going to be able to stop the FGC-9. So this is something we're going to see more of.
Well, I mean, I know in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah.
They built some serious handguns in the Philippines.
They do. And they build them much more complex, much more difficult to produce. Yep. Than the FGC-9 is.
They build some really, I mean, they build what looks like competition level double stacked 1911 pattern pistols in barns.
Yes, and they do it, and they have this thriving underground economy of very competent, essentially 18th or 19th century gunsmiths who, you know, are able to make complicated parts by brazing and blacksmithing techniques that, and have a skill level far above the people who do that sort of thing in the United States, because they don't have to. You know, we've got electricity everywhere. We don't have to use a forge to make a bolt or a slide. And these are very usable firearms. Now, they may not last, you know, for 50,000 rounds. Maybe they'll only last because the metal may not be heat treated exactly the best way. Maybe they'll only last for 1,000 or 2,000 rounds. Well, that's plenty of rounds for any kind of criminal activity. And if you're in an area where you can't get ammunition easily, you'll probably never reach that 1,000 or 2,000 round limit where they start having problems.
Right. But they do all of the fitting and everything by hand, and they file everything,
yes,
by hand.
Absolutely.
I've seen video of them doing it. I mean, they're quite the craftsman when it comes to that.
Oh, they are. And you see this all over the world where the government doesn't allow people to have commercial arms very easily. These small workshops spring up, and the craftsmen are created by experience, and it's often handed down from father to son over generations. And they can produce very sophisticated and reliable arms, and the quality of these arms has improved over time. In India, you see it specifically because they used to produce relatively simple single or double barrel pistols, And now they're producing semi-automatics. And in China, in some of the areas where they produce black market guns, they're producing semi-automatic pistols. I mean, and that makes sense because our technology and our knowledge has expanded, and these people have rapid access to it. So there's no reason why they wouldn't build a better firearm than they used to. And it's all over the world. But, you know, we say this is the death of gun control, but it's really not. And the reason I say that, if the people who are pushing to disarm us were really interested in the rule of law and preventing crime, yes, this would be the death of gun control. Yeah. But they're really not interested in that. They're interested in having power over us.
Oh, yeah.
So even if the U.S. falls into an anarcho-tyranny where criminals run wild everywhere and the common person is arrested for strolling in a park, well, as long as they're in charge, they don't care.
Well,
so
the only problem is going to be is, you know, right now with the media, we're about to run out of time. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about, let's kick this off on Wednesday. We can have that conversation on Wednesday next week. Let me tell everybody where to find you. Find Dean and his stuff at Ammoland.com. And let me take the time to thank you for spending some time with us tonight and talking all this good stuff.
Very good. It's always a pleasure. I always enjoy the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And as for the rest of you out there, between now and then, if you would be so kind, remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called Argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.